Hey, you are listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And my name is Michelle DiFilippo.
And we are going to get right into it. Michelle, what is your hot take?
Well, my hot take has nothing to do with book publishing, which is what I'm here to talk about. But I'd like to start with a question for your listeners. When you purchase groceries for a dinner party, do you pay the grocery store again every time you serve a guest? I don't think so. But that's exactly what many authors do when they self-publish a book and they use the wrong kind of publisher. So that's what I'm here to talk about today.
Very cool. I have actually had quite a few people on my show who have either self-published, gone through a publisher, tried to work with somebody, and it's really kind of mixed reactions. This little stack of books right here is people who've been on my show and have published a book in whatever format. And I've actually got like four or five coming today. So I think this is a really relevant topic because what I'm hearing from experts in the industry is that one of the best ways to build your brand and to get out there and get in front of people is to publish a book, is to tell your own story. So I would love to hear your, you know, what's the one thing we need to start doing if we want to publish a book and we want to do it the right way?
Well, there's never been more information available for authors today. The problem is a lot of it is just flat out wrong or deceptive. And so I've been in the publishing industry since 1972. So that's more than 50 years. And I've seen everything happen in from that time until today. So today there's so much information around, but what's missing in a lot of cases is integrity. And it really hurts authors a lot. It causes them a lot of suffering. From the updates that I see online, authors are really confused and they're overwhelmed. They're listening to people who might tell them to do the job themselves or who might tell them, yes, you need a publisher. But the truth, the simple truth is you do not need a publisher to self-publish your book. So that's the first decision you should be aware of. Self-publishing means you are the publisher. And print-on-demand printing and worldwide distribution is available to everyone with the click of a few buttons. Now, authors do need services to produce a book if they want to produce a market-ready book. So the do-it-yourself advice you will hear is just not accurate and it's not going to serve you in the long run. It may save you some money, but it's not the way to produce a quality book. So what we do here at 1106 Design is we are an author services company and we facilitate publishing for you. We help you publish in your own name and we help you with all the services you need to produce a book, but we don't operate in any way, shape, or form like a publisher. And that means we don't control your book. We don't share your revenue from sales. We don't take sales reports and never share them with you. There's lots of things that are happening to authors today that really shouldn't be happening.
So one of the things that I hear, and I think is something that a lot of rookie authors don't really understand, is there's this idea out there is that, you know, if I write it, they will come and all I have to do is write a great book and put all of my incredible ideas out and then I'll put it out in the world. And if it's good enough, it's going to be a smashing success. That is not my experience and the people that I've been that have published books. I would love to hear your insight at like, what are the common misconceptions when it comes to self-publishing? What are people getting wrong?
Well, what you just described there, I hear that a lot too. And, you know, when people tell me my book is, there's no other book like it on the market and there's, and everybody's going to flock to it. And that's just not true because we can't buy any product or service unless we first heard about it, right? So books are no exception. Yes, you can put your book up on the retailers' websites and we could show you how to do that. But, you know, there are millions and millions and millions of books on Amazon. And right. So Amazon is going to favor the books that have a lot of reviews and that have a lot of sales. And so, you know, people are just not going to find your book. You have to tell them that about your book. And that has always been the case, even when authors publish with traditional publishers. There's a big effort that goes into letting people know the book exists and to talk to the target audience and make sure that the message gets out to the people, not to everyone. No book is for everyone, but to the people most likely to buy your book.
So take us through the process. Like if someone comes to you and kind of has this attitude of like, I've got this brilliant idea. Nobody's ever thought of it. It's the first of its kind. And like, believe me, we've heard that over and over again, whether it's a product, a pitch, a speech, an idea. Like, everybody thinks their idea is the most unique thing on the planet. And, like, spoiler alert, it's probably not. But when they come to you, how do you help people figure out what is the story I'm going to tell, and how can I make sure that I do the right things the first time rather than just kind of like floating out into the ether with my book?
Well, yeah, there's every, I will say this, every author has a unique take on whatever their idea is. So nobody can write your book but you, but you should go into the process understanding that no matter what you're writing about, there's probably already 800,000 books on the same subject, right, on Amazon. So you have to make sure you do have a unique message. Nobody wants to hear advice they've already heard. You do have to put in your own unique take on any manuscript in order for it to have a chance and for anyone else, including the media, to be interested in it. So that's your first task. Now, a lot of authors will write the book that they are interested in, but what they should do is write the book, do some research first, and write the book that solves a problem for someone else or entertains someone else or educates someone else. They need to find out what other people are interested in and then write the book to meet that need. And that's absent a lot of times.
Yeah, I can see that actually, because a lot of times when you're building a product or trying to deliver a service to the market, that's what people always say is like, oh, you are not your customer. So you have to find the pain point for your customers and deliver a solution. And I can see a lot of people, mostly because I feel like writing a book is such a personal thing and it's such an emotional thing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Most people maybe is maybe more accurate to say, it is hard to separate yourself from this thing, because putting your thoughts and your ideas down on paper and out into the world feels a lot more intimate than just selling a service or selling some software.
Oh, it is. And you're going to put your own take on how you solve the problem. But the important thing is to make sure you know where you're going before you even start, right? And it's very easy for all of us to fall in love with our own ideas.
100%.
They're ours. Of course, we love them. But you need to make sure that there is an actual market for your book before you start.
What do you think are the reasons that people typically decide to write a book? Like, why is there people out there who say, you know what, I'm going to write a book?
Well, I think for business folks, the reason they write a book is in order to share their expertise and try to position themselves in the marketplace, because there's so much competition now for every product or service you can buy that putting yourself out there with a book is helpful. I give away my little book for free on my website for that very purpose, and it works wonders. So anyone who's thinking about promoting themselves or their book or their business with a book should absolutely do so. And it doesn't have to be a long book. If the idea of writing a book seems too daunting for you, it doesn't have to be very long. It can be a shorter piece to be used as a lead magnet and to tell people about what you do and how you do it. And the reason it works is because it's a non-threatening way, right? Nobody wants a sales pitch. But if you give away your little book and people can read about you, then in my experience, they come back to you almost closed, right? They say, okay, this is somebody I can relate to. This is some product I want to learn more about. And it's just, it puts you head and shoulders above ads and even podcasts to a certain degree, you know.
Yeah.
Because people only have 24 hours in the day to access media, and there's an awful lot of it out there.
And I also feel like there is this perception in the marketplace that if someone has a book, they've written a book, then they must be smart, intelligent, talented, have something to say. And I want to be a part of that, right? Because everybody wants to surround themselves with people who are doing something and making it happen. And to me, writing a book seems hard, right? Or like a lot of work or something that isn't just something an everyday person does. So if someone's written a book, I'm like, oh my gosh, you have done something that seems like an achievement. And I want to be around people who achieve.
Yeah. And that's where it's really important too, to make sure that your book is top quality and on a par with the production levels that you'd see from a traditional publisher, because unfortunately, there's a lot of bad advice out there and a lot of books on the market today. We've seen them. They're just awful. They're not edited. They're not proofread. You know, the text is not formatted properly. The cover looks homemade. And that's the bad news of self-publishing that has gotten way out of control. And it's given self-publishing a bad name when it really should not.
Well, and there's even like taking it a step further of I've run across a lot of what I'll call like AI slop, where there's someone on my TikTok who somehow I got on like Side Hustle TikTok where everyone's talking about like you can make money doing these things. And they're talking about this book that they call PLR or something like that. I can't remember what it stands for, but it's basically like a pre-written ebook that they say you could take this book and edit it yourself and add your own stories. And that way you have a full book and then you just add your own little flair to it. And then here's how you publish it on Amazon and here's how you promote it. And then I'm sitting here thinking, okay, if they're selling this book skeleton that all you have to do is put some flesh on the bone and then telling everybody to go publish it on Amazon, how many copies of this exact book are on there with just a few extra stories? And when you read it, you can just tell it was AI generated and it followed a format and it didn't have any unique value, but it was on Amazon and they published a book, right? And that's the thing that's happening out there, which is why there's so many books on the exchange that are just terrible.
Oh, yeah. And this, it was always true that you needed to produce a good book in order for it to sell and be recommended. What people who say that or recommend that are forgetting is that people can jump on and post a review. So if you don't meet buyer expectations, they get angry and they jump on and they post a negative review. And you can never get rid of those reviews. You can rant and rave and contact Amazon all you want. They're not going to get rid of that review. So why would you risk that? I mean, we've all seen that kind of template approach, right? Have you ever, when you research any product, have you ever come across four or five articles that sound like they were all pulled from the same source?
Yeah.
You know, first of all, it makes you look lazy and dishonest. So why would you want to try to impress people if your first act, the first impression you're leaving with them is that you're lazy and dishonest? It's
right. That's not somebody anyone wants to hire.
Exactly. Exactly. It takes a long time to write a book. I mean, our customers write, it takes years. Sometimes it's months, but more often it's years. We just finished a book for a poet who has been writing his book for 40 years.
That is wild.
I know.
It's such a long time.
And it was awesome. An epic poem, 600 pages. but can you imagine the effort that goes into that? So, you know, why would you cut corners and not produce it well after you put in that kind of effort?
So take us through the process. If someone is hearing this and they're saying, okay, like this, I needed to hear this today. The universe put this podcast into my feed for a reason. Tell us, how would someone get started? How do we come to the table making sure we can bring the most value to the partnership so that we can get the best out of it?
Well, the most important thing is to go into self-publishing with accurate expectations, right? We're all familiar, and like I started to say at the beginning, there are some publishing outfits out there today that really are not beneficial to authors. Now, in traditional publishing, the author contributes only the manuscript, doesn't pay a penny. The publisher invests all the money to produce the book and takes a major portion of the revenue when the book is sold in order to recoup its investment. That's perfectly fair. Today's publishers, however, sometimes they call themselves hybrid publishers, independent publishers, self-publishing companies, whatever the terminology is. They charge the author to produce the book, and they take money out of the author's pocket when a book is sold. So that doesn't work out too well for authors. So what we're talking about here is real independent self-publishing as it was originally intended. And that means the author invests the money to produce the book, but the author gets all of the revenue from sales, all of the net revenue from sales when that book is sold. And you always keep, if you do it that way, you keep control of your book. You don't depend on anybody else to send you sales reports. They're going to come right to your email inbox. You don't depend on anybody else to pay you your quote unquote royalties. You're going to get the bank deposits directly to your bank account. And that's self-publishing as it was originally intended.
What are the, like, take me through the full process. What are the steps? So I've written a book, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't really, but like, let's pretend that I have. I've written a book And I'm ready to self-publish. I work with your team to get it edited, to be high quality, to have a cover that doesn't look like I just popped it on Canva and, you know, use a template from their site. Nothing wrong with Canva, by the way. Love Canva, just not for your book cover. And there's got to be more to it, though, right? Like, what is the promotion status? How do you get people to pay attention? What are the things that people miss when it comes to this self-publishing experience?
Oh, yeah. That, I think people don't have an understanding of how much work goes into the production of a book. I think a lot of people just figure we click a few buttons and their manuscript magically becomes a book. Yeah. But people who understand publishing know that there's many, many hours. We probably spend 100 hours on the book from editing all the way through to file upload. So there's a lot of meticulous work, careful work, editing in particular. That editor is poring over every word of your manuscript, making sure your message is clear, making sure you didn't repeat yourself too much, in addition to just basic grammar and punctuation. So that is essential. Sometimes I'll run into clients who don't think they need an editor because they've been writing all their life. And the way I respond to that is I say, I know you may not agree, but you do need an editor. Everyone needs an editor because we cannot find the mistakes in our own writing. Right. So please just don't skimp on that. After editing, now we have to think about what product are we presenting to the buyer on Amazon. Think about how you scroll on Amazon and look at a book. You make a decision about whether or not to click on a book in about 3 seconds, right? You'll read the title, you look at the cover, and it either immediately leaves a good impression and lets you know that it will meet your need, or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, you scroll past and you never find out more about it. So the book cover, again, is essential. You're not likely to find a good book cover designer on Fiverr. So please just budget enough to hire someone who is serious and experienced and will work with you in a collaborative way to create not only the book cover you envision, but the book cover that meets professional standards and competes well with the bestsellers. Because even if you direct people to your Amazon page, Amazon is not just going to show your book. They're going to show the best-selling titles right alongside it. So your book better be designed to be in line with that so that you can at least get enough basic credibility so that people click and learn more about the book. After that, we can't control what they want. That's subjective. But we can make them click, and that's what the cover does.
I was talking to a self-published author, and he made a joke that he was going to take the variations of his book cover and go to the airport and like sit him on a shelf and see how did it look next to the airport bookstore option. And I kind of laughed at him at first, but the more I thought about it, I was like, no, you're right. Like if I'm running through an airport looking for something to read on the plane, I have probably like 0.2 seconds to make an impression and to get someone's attention and at least earn the right to have them pick up the book and look at the back.
It's a subliminal decision and it's terrifying.
Yeah.
But that's what book cover designers specialize in, you know, and it's not a matter of finding someone who for a cheap price will give you a template and pop in a picture and give you the same design that has been used for 1,000 other authors before you. You can save money if you do that, but it's not going to impress anybody. Your book has to be researched to fit in with the bestsellers that are similar and then designed in a similar way to look like it belongs. Because people may not recognize your name, but if your book looks good, they might say, gee, I'll give that author a chance, even though I never heard of them. But if your book looks self-published, they're going to say, I don't know, I better stick with the well-known author again.
Especially because we've all been burned by those poorly written books. We're like, how did this even make it to the printing room floor?
Yes. Now, the next step in the process is interior design and typesetting. And a lot of people don't know about that. The word that's used right now mostly is formatting. But formatting is not the way books are typeset and designed. The pages need to be designed first, working through options with the author. Make sure it fits in with the subject matter. Make sure the text is easy to read for your target audience, right? For young adult books, for example, we might make the line spacing a little bit more generous because it's for young readers who may be having difficulty reading. So we want to make that that experience easy for them. For older readers, the text might be a little bit larger again because eyesight is failing as we get older. So everything has to be thought about. It's not just, oh, I'll use 12-point time Roman and Times Roman and call it good. There's the many, many decisions that a book designer makes about the interior of your book. And once the decisions are made, then there's dozens and dozens of typesetting rules that we follow to make sure that text is smooth, evenly spaced, easy to read. Because if you distract the reader with poor spacing or just other
art. Weird line breaks. Yeah.
Weird line breaks, widows, what we call widows and orphans, which is the beginning of a paragraph at the bottom of a page or the last line of a paragraph at the top of the page. It's going to interrupt their concentration and their flow. And so you want to avoid things like that. And that takes a lot of time because software doesn't do it automatically. It has to be thought about on a paragraph by paragraph basis.
Well, and I've had those books too, where like you hold it open and you could tell they didn't give enough like margin in the center because the book was too big.
Yep.
And so like I'm having to like break the spine of my book simply to read what you wrote. And if you're inexperienced and don't know how to adjust those settings and those margins to make sure that you are keeping that in mind, you might end up with a book run that's really hard to read.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so the next step after typesetting is proofreading. And people say, well, I already proofread my manuscript. Well, yes, you did. But you'd be amazed when text is properly typeset, it needs to be proofread again now that it's designed and typeset, because things that you cannot see in Word pop out in the formatted pages.
Yeah. There's just some different experience about holding it physically in your hand, even if you printed it out, but like seeing it in the environment that your audience is going to connect with it in.
And that's the standard workflow in traditional publishing. But a lot of, like I said at the beginning, a lot of these practices have just kind of fallen by the wayside by people who maybe they don't know or others who have just given up and they're telling authors whatever they want to hear.
Right. So, it's like going back to the fundamentals and like these are the fundamentals for a reason.
Yes.
Not necessarily like, yes, they're tedious. Yes, it's time consuming. Yes, it might feel like an extra step, but it is a fundamental for a reason.
What I say sometimes is authors will attempt to do it themselves and they'll judge what they've created as good. But what they're not doing, and here's a bit of homework that someone might want to try, is go to a bookstore, take what you think is a well-formatted page and go to a bookstore and pick up a hardcover book from a major publisher and compare the text pages side by side. And you will see a big difference between what you've done. Excuse me. And I'm not criticizing anyone for trying because that's always a good thing. But it takes expertise to create a good book.
Well, and there's something to that too, right? If you want to be recognized as I'll call it a big dog, right? You want to be just as good as the authors that you admire, then there is some work that goes into that. And it's not as simple as just saying, I wrote a book, I'm smart, I'm talented. It's I wrote a book, I'm smart, I'm talented. And I did what it took to put my best foot forward.
Yes. So the next step after proofreading is creating that an ebook. And we create the InDesign file in such a way that it will be exported properly for ebook formatting. If you don't take care of that, you can wind up with a pretty big mess in your ebook. Yeah. And we do actually hire experienced ebook formatters because it's so technical and it's so detailed and the standards are changing all the time. So I don't recommend anyone do it yourself, do an ebook yourself, no matter what you hear online.
Yeah.
And then the final step is uploading the files. And here's our crucial difference to your print-on-demand accounts. Not to a publisher's print-on-demand account, to accounts that have been opened up in your name. And when you do that, it will feed your book to all of the online retailers. We recommend two platforms, KDP.com and IngramSpark.com. And by using both of those platforms together, you will get the widest distribution at the lowest cost. And when a book is sold, there are two expenses you can't avoid, and that is the retailer's discount. Retailer takes a cut of every sale. At Amazon, it's 40%. At Ingram Spark, it's usually 55% if you want your book to be available in physical bookstores and libraries and so forth. But that's okay. I mean, you can't avoid it. You just have to price your book accordingly to make sure that you make some money when the job is done. So the retailer will deduct their fee, the print, you have to pay for the printing. And then the balance is goes directly to your bank account. Now, that's usually $6 to $8 per book, depending on its length and retail price that you set, okay? I hear people who are working with publishers, independent publishing companies, hybrid publishers, are getting $2 or $3 a book.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a really big difference. That's a big difference. Now, there are, to be fair, there are good publishers and there are good hybrid publishers. If the publisher you think you want to work with is actually financially contributing to the project, let's say they're charging you for production, but they're paying for the marketing, then they deserve a share
of you. Right, then that makes sense. That they got to recoup somehow.
It's a partnership, right? But there are many so-called hybrid publishers out there that are charging the author for every service, and they're still taking $2 or $3 out of their pocket every time a book sells. And so that's what authors need to watch out for.
You know, considering all of the people that you know or aspire to know, who else should we be listening to?
Well, I actually look to the past for wisdom, more to the present. And I have two quotes that I really love. The first is from Winston Churchill. And he said, "Always do the right thing. It will gratify your friends and astound your enemies," which is great advice. And the other advice is, it's not what we know that's the problem. It's what we know that just isn't so. So I think those two bookend quotes can really keep us out of a lot of trouble.
You know, if someone is hearing this and they want to follow up with you, they want to learn more, they want to keep up with what you're working on, where can they find you online?
They can find us at 1106design.com. And you'll go there. We have educational articles. We have design samples. We have my free book, which is right behind me there, Published Like the Pros. You can sign up for our email list and download the book for free. And then you can unsubscribe if you want. That's fine. I just want you to have my book. And then we will also, on my website, you'll find a contact form so that you can contact us, tell us a little bit about yourself and your book, and we'll have a nice, friendly, no pressure conversation. I promise we're not going to start sending you 5 emails a day and pound you over the head until you respond. We don't engage in such high pressure tactics. Publishing is an art, and you have created a beautiful manuscript, and we want to make it into a beautiful book for you.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on The Girl Signal today. This was a really unique and fascinating conversation, and I hope our audience got just as much out of it as I did.
Thanks for having me, Alyssa.